right now, there are a lot of teachers who, if you said this to them, might punch you in the face. Hey guys, Brian with the Kick Some Class podcast, the podcast that is designed for you, the educator, to help you kick some class, right? So whether you are just starting out as a new teacher and you haven't even taught your first class, or you're an old grizzled veteran and you're trying not to burn out or wondering, geez, what do I do now? I'm already fried. Well, this is the episode for you. And this show is designed to give you tips, tricks, tutorials, conversations, reflections, all sorts of really cool things to help you have a greater impact in class, at home, and in life. So if that's you, you are in the right place. And today, I've got a really special thing that I wanted to start doing on the podcast. This is something that I'm going to steal from Jimmy Fallon, because his hashtag game that he plays on The Late Show actually hit quite close to home for me when he first started it. So I had a previous Twitter handle at BeesofOTech, and so he was playing the hashtag game and it had a hashtag, it's time to move. You can look it up on YouTube. And so if you actually search the hashtag game on one of the GIFs, I'm GIFified. He's actually doing this. That's my tweet. That was really cool. And actually, I had a family member, sort of long lost double cousin once removed on the whatever, who contacted me on Twitter because he's like, man, not a lot of people have that last name. Well, it was hashtag time to move. I loved it. Put a tweet out there. He read it on the air. And I thought that was really fun. So the hashtag kick some class is what we're going to be looking to put out there. But because I didn't announce this in advance, I just wanted to look through Twitter over the last week and a half and the things that I had favorited, hearted, whatever, and then to talk about those particular tweets, what they mean for education, what they meant to me, and maybe how they can help us kind of have some perspective and grow in that. So let's take a look at the five tweets. The first one comes from FOTUS at FOTUS underscore Michael. And he said, the school can learn a lot from sports. No grading of development, emphasis on repetition, optimized placement, learning through failure. Oof. Learning through failure. Awesome, awesome. One, voluntary commitment, mastery of the basics, acknowledgement of differences, roles, and abilities. Now, if you are a teacher and a lot of teachers coach a sport, then you see probably both sides of this. And in fact, coaching is a huge role that needs to exist in the lives of teachers. And so the one thing that I've seen over time is like, we don't necessarily grade athletes. Yes, they win or lose, their times, improve, which could mean less. I am a track and field coach. I was a pole vaulter. I've coached cross country runners and volleyball players, wrestlers. And so there's always this idea about growth. We epitomize the growth mindset. If somebody has good sportsmanship, particularly in individual sports, it's really all about beating you yesterday, tomorrow. My goal is to grow. My goal is to have a coach watch me run and say, oh, dude, that's horrible. Like I had happened to me in college. It was like, how did anyone not teach you form? And now I was able to correct that and to get faster because it was the heart of the coach was specific, it was actionable, it was meant for me, and I knew how to fix it. And I think that's awesome. So FOTUS, Michael, FOTUS, thank you. That was awesome. Love it. We need more coach mentality, more growth mindset involved with teaching. The second one comes from Dwayne Reed, Teach Mr. Reed. Love this. Not everyone deserves your time. Not everyone deserves your energy. Not everyone deserves your response. There's a great way to sum this up. Shut up. In other words, I wish I could have told this to myself in a lot of situations where there were people who said things and I was like, oh, and I responded. And I wish I hadn't, because it basically just started round two, right? Now that person, it's like we're playing this tennis match of back and forth, and we're both prideful and we're both having a different opinion. And if I just bit my tongue and let it go, I've always been maybe a little bit too stupid and too stubborn to let that happen. The same thing happens in meetings. You want to improve your life? Stop communicating or stop commenting on things in meetings that are already pointless to talk about. Why are we keeping it going by making, anyway, I definitely have done that. So, Dwayne, yes, just because we value other people as human beings doesn't mean we have to ascribe value to them with our time, our energy, or our limited emotions. Save those things for the things you really care about and the people that matter most. That's awesome. Love it. All right. So Justin, I love this. This is from Justin Ion, Aon, A-I-O-N. Sorry, Justin, with my last name. People murder it all the time. And he said this, the phrase used by a coworker to describe me, quote, he goes above and beyond all the time, but when he's told to go above and beyond, he gets mad, end quote. This is wildly accurate description of most aspects of my life, and I feel both seen and attacked. Dude, Justin, that's right on, seen and attacked. And here it is. Teachers right now are being asked to go above and beyond, and it's okay if you volunteer and you want to do that, but there comes a point where you need to withdraw. Maybe you need to establish a boundary. You need to be able to say no. And when that entitled leadership, I don't know if you have it or not, forces you to do something that is about to break you, then that's the problem. So good-natured people who are working within their boundaries and have margin are often always willing to be good people and to go above and beyond. But when you are already stressed to the max, to require it of someone, it just ain't cool. Justin, love it. Blake Burge or Burge, I'm not really sure. Blake, A-B-U-R-G-E. Sorry, Blake. It is not the load that breaks you down. It's the way you carry it, Lena Horne. Now, this is a little bit of the Michael Scott quoting Wayne Gretzky thing, but I still love it. I don't really care because quotes are amazing and they're quotes because they're worth sharing. Well, this one I think is really interesting. Right now, there are a lot of teachers who, if you said this to them, might punch you in the face because they're like, don't tell me it's the way I'm doing my job. You're doing it wrong and that's why you're getting stressed out. Well, you may not like this. There is a little truth to that. And the whole don't throw the baby out with the bathwater applies here. We can shift our pedagogy. We can shift the things that we are doing to leverage what we are good at, what works, what's easy, what's fun, what returns energy to us, and to like leave out those other parts of the job that do not. We can sort of tweak and shift and move that around. However, a lot of people, if you said that to them, are probably at that point where they'd be really frustrated. There is a point where it doesn't matter how you carry the load. The load is too great, and it isn't right that it had been put on you in the first place. But I know when my daughter was born, we did a ton of hiking. Actually, the first time we hiked with her, I think she's like a month old, and it was hot. And, you know, we're going slow because, I mean, my wife had just apparently been through something difficult. No, I'm just totally, totally kidding. But I was sweating and I'm wearing, you know, like my daughter in the front of this thing. And she was just soaked in my sweat. Gross. But as she got older, she moved to the back. And I noticed even though she was heavier and I would carry her on my back, it was easier because the way our spines work and weight distribution and all that stuff. And so maybe there is something about your job and the way that you're doing it, the specific lesson types and homework or whatever it is, maybe there's some way that you could shift and remove some of the weight or put it on a part of you that was designed to carry more. And you know, without knowing your situation, I don't want to talk to that too much, but this is why we exist in community. Get with those teachers around you that are rock stars and different from you and just say, hey, you know, what do you think? Is there a way I can do this differently? And it may work and it may not, but sooner or later, the weight is going to lessen. And so if we can find a way to carry it until that happens, then we're going to be okay in the long run. So Blake, I thought that was really awesome. Good stuff. All right. Traditional methods of teaching. This comes from Kareem Farah 23. And he said, traditional methods of teaching that rely on live lectures and fixed pacing give students very little room for error. No matter how far behind you fall, you're still expected to learn new content at the exact same pace as your peers. For many students, that's demoralizing. When I read this tweet, Kareem, I was the last word you used, demoralizing. Wow. That really hit me. And it reminded me of years ago when I was going to college and getting my bachelor's in biology and I was taking cell bio. And this guy who taught cell bio was horrible. This guy who taught cell bio was absolutely horrible. In fact, he had two overhead projectors, not like These are old school, you know, like film that he had write on the notes. And he knew nobody could keep up with him. So he brought the second one and he would slide from here to there. He had two screens and basically you were working off number two all the time, finished it up. You'd just get on the same one as him and then he would move that over. The tragedy of this is this guy never actually taught. He just dumped information. He could have photocopied those things off, handed them to you, and then had a discussion in class that would have been much better. You may not have been fully prepared, but it wasn't like this was valuable anyway. And I think in some ways, although technology has changed and we would never do that in our classes, it's kind of what's happening. And so this is why I would say, you know, like the flipped model is amazing. Now, if you teach elementary or middle school, it might be a challenge to do the flip model, right, with that age group of kids or all the time. But in middle school, I did a modified flipped. And this happened to me sitting on the couch here just about 2 years ago when we had our initial shutdowns in March of 2020. And I was sitting on the couch and I had just gone through another class online with my students. And I was recording things and I was pulling pieces in. And I was like, what am I doing? For over 20 years now, I've been teaching the exact same lesson 5 to 6 times a day, or, you know, in a block one day and 3 more times the next day, the same thing. If I had recorded it once in super high quality, trimmed it down, put the best things in there, then why couldn't I ship that out to students and then just have a conversation? What did you understand? What didn't you understand? How can I get at that vocabulary or that example? Or now let's take a look at this phenomena in a demonstration or a lab and get at deeper meaning. I think that's super valuable. But it would also allow us to pace those lessons prescriptively. So kids out for 10 days and they come back, they're not 10 days behind. Yeah, they're behind. But if the goal is growth, as we talked about earlier, then don't we just want them to grow from where they are and move from that point forward and not worry about covering something, which is a pet peeve of mine. I'll get at that word a little bit later on. But hey guys, I loved these 5 tweets and there were 15 others that I'd love to pull in and they might be old by the time they do, but here's how you get one to me. So go to @baldsci, that's me right there, and hashtag kick some class. So this is the Kick Some Class podcast. These guys didn't even know I was going to steal their tweet and use it on the podcast. And I want to just say thank you. And this is my shout out, guys. I thought those quotes were awesome, but keep them coming. If you got a specific thing that somebody has said that you thought was awesome or thought that you had, after some extra spicy pepperoni in the middle of the night, you woke up with this epiphany and throw that hashtag on there. I really look forward to reading the tweets and to maybe highlighting a couple of them with a shout out here on the podcast. If you are on YouTube, go ahead and drop them right in the comments and I'll look through those comments and maybe one of those things will get out there as well. So I really look forward to all of the awesome things that you guys have that are helping me kick some class and all the people who listen and watch on the podcast. So for the Kick Some Class podcast, I'm Brian and @BaldSci saying we'll see you guys next time.